Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I appreciate this opportunity. Hope that our study together will be beneficial to us all as children of God. Listening to the television the other day, I don't watch it much, I just kind of have it in the background. But they were referring to the United States as a Christian nation. I would believe that just about any congregation or the majority of the congregations of denominations in this city, all those who make those up, would refer to themselves as Christians. It's important for us to consider who a Christian is, what the name involves. And so in our study this morning, I would like for us to think about wearing the name Christian. Do we wear it in a way that is pleasing in God's sight? You know, the term Christian is found only three times in the Bible, in the New Testament. Acts 11 and verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. In Acts 26 and in verse 28, when Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." And then in 1 Peter 4 and chapter 4 and verse 16, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Though the word is used often in the religious world today, we find these three places in the New Testament that it's used. The denominational wears this name, Christian, but they wear the name contrary to what the Bible says. They wear it contrary to what Jesus prayed in John the 17th chapter and in verse 20, that his disciples might all be one as he and the Father were one. They wear it differently concerning the pleas of Paul in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and in verse 10. When he said, "I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment." It is also contrary to what we find in God's plan in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 4. "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." So we need to look at non-denominational Christians, those belonging to the Lord's church. Others would say that you can have the faith of your choice or the church of your choice. But the passage that we just looked at said that there is one church, that one body. That body is identified in the first part of Ephesians, in the first chapter, verses 22 and 23, as the church. And so the Bible says that if you're assuming a name and wearing a Christian different, in an organization different from what we read in the New Testament, then you're not wearing the name properly. It's important that many try to wear this name today, but they do not realize the full significance in wearing the name Christian. All of us wear it, even here. All of us wear it who are members of the Lord's body. But some of us don't wear it so well. Others would wear it well in their service to the Lord. And so I would say to you that a Christian is more than a baptized person. You can find baptized people throughout all denominations just about in this country and in the world. Some mode of baptism is involved. And so a Christian is more than just somebody who's been, quote, baptized. A Christian is more than just someone who has their name on a church roll, that's a member of some church or some denomination and has their name on that roll. A New Testament Christian is more than that. A Christian is more than a weekly worshiper, someone who attends worship services on the Lord's Day, and that's it. A Christian is more than that. And one who wears the name properly should understand that. There are many of these who have been baptized in some way or another, who are a member of some church or denomination, or who work on a worship on a regular basis, but there's a lot of them, but few are true Christians and wear the name properly. Let's look at the idea of wearing the name Christian. Do you wear the name Christian? Well, then you may be understand, or you need to understand that it is an honor to be able to properly wear that name. You know, there's honor and dishonor that's attached to various names. Dishonor to the Jew, the word Gentile, or Samaritan, or Nazarene. Jezebel, you don't find many children named Jezebel today. Judas, all of these are names that suggest to us, or to those in different parts of the country, something that is dishonor. But there are also honorable names. Husband, wife, American, Alabamian, Texan, Tennessean, whatever you may be from. You consider it an honor to be from that state, and you wear that name of that state as a citizen of that state or someone who's come from that state with honor. There are those things that we understand that suggest honor within themselves. But the greatest name that can be worn is the name Christian. Why is it the greatest name that can be worn by someone today? Well, first of all, it's a name that is given from God. In Isaiah the 56th chapter and in verse 5, "Unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a memorial, a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Later in chapter 62 he writes, "And the nations shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Jehovah shall name." Isaiah 62 and in verse 2. You know, early Christians considered it an honor to be identified as such. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16 he writes, "If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed." In Acts the 5th chapter, in verses 38 through about verse 41, where the disciples were called in before the Sanhedrin, and there was a big uproar, and Gamaliel quieted them down, and then they beat them and told them not to teach this doctrine anymore. And it says they went out rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for his name. And so these early Christians were wearing that name with great honor. We do not wear the name of some ordinance, some plan of man, or an angel. When we wear the name Christian properly, we're wearing the name of the Son of God. And how we wear that shows whether or not we consider it an honor to wear the name given by God. Not only is it an honor, but there are rewards with those who would be willing to wear this name Christian. In other words, there's the blessings of a benevolent father, material blessings or life God has promised to those that are his. In Matthew the 6th chapter in verse 33, in the earlier verses, having pointed out that God was able to take care of the birds of the air and care for the beauty of the lilies of the field, then he goes on to say, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be given unto you." Or we can look in Matthew 7 and verse 11. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Again, we see the great importance of God and his blessings to those who are his. In James the 1st chapter in verse 17, we're told that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. The blessings that we receive from God are wonderful. All of us could say here today, we've been wonderfully blessed materially. But the greater blessings that we receive and rewards are those special blessings, the special spiritual blessings that come from God. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3 as the Holy Spirit moved him, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." What wonderful blessings. There is the promise of heaven that is given. It's not given to unbelievers. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, "Except you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins." So those who can receive spiritual blessings from God will not be those who do not believe in Christ. The unbelievers will not be able to receive those blessings. Neither will the disobedient. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and in verse 8, we're told that the Lord will come in flame with His angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the promise of heaven is not given to the disobedient, but it is given to faithful Christians. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. You remember Jesus said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." And so this promise is given to those who are faithful Christians, those who are willing to serve the Lord faithfully. There's another thing that's involved in wearing the name Christian. Not only is it an honor, not only do we find it to be what God would want us to wear, but it has responsibilities with it. We find that wearing a name of honor, a name that brings blessings, has responsibilities with it. For example, wearing the name American involves the idea of believing in the Constitution. It means that we are to be patriotic. It involves being a good citizen. All of these who wear the name American in an honorable way understand the responsibilities that go with wearing that name American. The same is true when wearing the name Christian. Wearing the name Christians mean assuming responsibility. A responsibility to be a disciple, to learn. In our class this morning, Brother Binkley pointed out the importance of studying and learning God's Word so that we can teach others what they must do in order to be saved, to have their sins forgiven. And so if we're going to wear the name Christian properly, we must assume the responsibility that we are a true disciple and that the responsibility of a disciple is to learn from the teacher. As a follower, he is to imitate the leader. We are to imitate Christ. We are to follow the examples that He gave us that we are to follow. As a child of God, we have the responsibility to obey whatever God tells us to do, and whatever relationship it may be, whether it's with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's our responsibility to fulfill what He has asked us to do, whether it's our responsibilities at work, or whatever it may be. As a child of God, to wear the name Christian means that we are willing to obey those things that are in accordance with God's will. It means that as a servant, we will be loyal to the Master. Our Master is Jesus Christ, and we are His servants. We're working in His vineyard. We're laborers in His field. And as a result of that, we have to be loyal to the Master as a servant. Are you loyal to the Lord? The Christian's life, simply put, is a life of duty. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In Luke 17 and verse 10, Jesus said, "Even so you also, when you shall have done all the things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." And so wearing the name Christian should be considered a great honor. Wear it with honor. not only wear it with honor, but it's important that we understand that God will reward those who wear it in such a way, and that there are responsibilities that must be fulfilled if we're going to properly wear the name Christian. You ever thought about it? But the Bible points out to us that people may be Christians, New Testament Christians, but there can be different kinds of those Christians. For example, there can be, in the sense of service, not brands of Christians, but there are different extremes and shades and degrees of Christians. For example, there are the strong versus those who are weak. In Romans the 15th chapter in verse 1, "Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." And so the scriptures speak of those Christians who are strong and those who are weak. It also speaks of those who are spiritual minded, those who are attuned to spiritual things. And then it speaks of those who are carnal minded. Again, as we studied in our class this morning about being carnal minded and being carnal in our lives, that which is worldly, that which is different from what God would have us to be. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ." And so you can have Christians that are very spiritually minded. And then you can have those who've obeyed the gospel, but they are carnal minded. Things of the world mean a lot more to them than the things of the Lord. There are those who are hot in their zeal to serve the Lord. There are those who are cold. We read in Revelation the 3rd chapter in verse 15 that the Laodiceans were neither hot nor cold, the Lord said, and because they were neither hot nor cold, showing that there was a possibility to be hot or cold, he would spew them out of his mouth. They make him sick. So here we find that there are those different types in their zeal in serving the Lord. We're hot in serving the Lord, or we could be cold in serving the Lord. There are those who are stable in their faith and in their duties and responsibilities. There are others who are unstable in their relationship with the Lord. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verses 14 and 15, we read that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and craftiness, after the wiles of error. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. So there are those who are stable, who are mature. Then there are those who can be carried away in one way or another by false teaching and the trickery of men, their craftiness and those types of things. And they're unstable. And so they can be stable or unstable. And then there can be those who follow right centered on the truth, right what the Lord would have them be. And then there are those who walk out on the peripheral, who are kind of out on the edge. Kind of like it said of Peter when Jesus was arrested in Matthew the 26th chapter and verse 58, that Peter followed afar off. And we know the trouble that got him into. Christians can kind of be kind of peripheral in their responsibilities and in their duties and in their worship. That just not really important to them, and they just don't, just enough to be identified, but not to be dead on center in their responsibilities and duty. Now, if one pretends to continue being weak and carnal and cold and unstable, or following on the peripheral, on the about borders of religion, rather than being strong and spiritual and hot in their zeal and stable and centered, then what we find is that the ones who are strong and spiritual and hot wear the name well, but the other group wear it poorly. One group, the group that is strong and spiritual, they are a glory to the cause. The other become a reproach because of their worldliness and their weakness and their unwillingness to be on fire for the Lord. One group is truly converted to the Lord and see the importance of following Him and obeying Him and listening to His Word. The others are really unconverted. It's not really important how things are done. what is taught or anything like that. It's just, they're just sort of doing it for the social part. One group is going to heaven, and the other is going to be lost eternally because of their attitudes and dispositions and the willingness to serve in the Lord's kingdom and wearing the name Christian. Now, so I need to ask myself, am I truly a Christian? Truly a New Testament Christian? Or am I just wearing the name? Did I become a Christian from conviction or from convenience? Did I do it to obey, to impress others? Did I do it because others were at the time and it was the thing to do? Or did I obey the gospel out of conviction? Only wearing the name, but you didn't do it out of conviction that you believed that you were lost and that you needed your sins forgiven, that you needed to obey the gospel of Christ. Did you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Were you willing to repent and turn from your sins? Did you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Were you buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life? Such is the case. Then you can wear the name truly as God would have you to wear it. I need to ask myself the question, as I wear this name Christian, am I separated from the world? In my recreation, in my language, in the literature that I read, am I following those things that are worldly, corrupt, filled with lust, filled with immoral things? So am I separated from the world? Do I keep those things out of my life? You know, if I drink alcoholic beverages and dance and curse and gamble, you're just wearing the name. You're conducting yourself in such a way that does not bring honor to the name, and you're not in line to receive the rewards of the Lord. You need to separate yourself from the world. Be a part of the Lord's kingdom, to be that peculiar people, those that are pure in serving the Lord. How important is the church to you? Are you really devoted to the church? Does it come first or does it come second? Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," talking about food and clothing and shelter, those types of things. Does the church come first? Is it that important to me? Do I want to assemble with the brethren? Do I love the brethren? Or do I have no time for them? John 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." A true Christian has a great affection of love for their brothers and sisters in the Lord. They are striving together to please the Lord. They are trying to help each other the best that they can out of love to enter heaven. And we can't do that to someone that we don't care for, that we resent, that we hate, that we don't love. It takes love for someone's soul to be able to have this love for our brethren and for others. Do I attend the maximum or the minimum number of services? What is your attitude toward worship services? Do you think one takes care of it all? You know, the Lord promises to be in the midst of us where two or three are gathered together. And whenever God's children gather together to worship Him, He's in the midst. Do you not enjoy being in the presence of the Lord? Do you not love your brothers and sisters enough to attend every opportunity you have to sing with them, to pray for them, to help them to be strong and encouraged, and you receive their encouragement? Rather than putting a limit, do I have to? attend this service or that service. Where are the services that I can readily attend? I want to do those things. I enjoy being in the Lord's family. I enjoy being with the Lord's family. And I enjoy being in the Lord's presence every opportunity that I possibly can. Do I give liberally or miserly? Do I give just what's left over? You know, the second group that have no time for the brethren, that don't put the church first, the miserly givers, are just wearing the name. They're not true Christians. They're not true because of their attitudes and dispositions toward those things that are spiritual in nature. How do you feel toward strong preaching? Am I offended when truth and error are kindly but plainly taught? When it's clearly taught through the Scriptures that things that I may be doing in my life are wrong and should not be participating in, do I appreciate being told that, or do I resent it and ignore it? What is your attitude toward truth being plainly taught? Paul asked the Galatians, there was a problem there. In chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, so then am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? We should not make someone an enemy because they are teaching us the truth, teaching us how to live as God's children. In John chapter 6 and verse 66, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They considered the sayings that Jesus had been teaching as hard, and they didn't want to be able to participate in it, partake of it. Another question about wearing this name Christian. Am I striving to grow in the Christian graces? Well, they all read those to us in the beginning of the service. Those are important principles to be added to our lives so that we might be strong, so that we may be the type of Christian that brings honor and glory to God. Am I striving to grow in His knowledge? Did you have your class lesson for this morning? Do you have your class lesson for every class that you go to? Are you prepared for it? Do you have study periods at home on your own where you can study and meditate upon God's Word? Am I unconcerned about developing myself as a Christian and my brothers and sisters and their growth as a child of God? Am I striving to save the lost? We have opportunities. It's just whether or not we strive to seize upon those opportunities. Have I developed myself to have the abilities to teach the plan of salvation to someone? I can tell them a lot about other things, but can you tell them about God's plan of salvation and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Do I care about telling others of Christ? Is it a big deal to me whether I talk to people about Christ, or am I embarrassed to mention Christ, the church, the importance of living the Christian life? I cannot be a real Christian unless I am striving to be a soul winner. Let me mention about three facts about wearing this name, Christian, that maybe we hadn't thought of. First of all, we wear the name Christian voluntarily. Christ did not compel you to wear it. He didn't make you put on that name. You voluntarily wear the name Christian. You chose to wear it by obeying the gospel. Therefore, we should serve Him gladly and willingly. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, Paul said to the Corinthians, and I will be gladly spent and be spent, gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Paul was one who gladly served the Lord, who willingly did what he could possibly do in his service in the Lord's kingdom. Not only do we wear the name voluntarily, but we wear it constantly. It's not something Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. We come in from services. We take the name off and put it in the closet or put it up on the shelf, their mantle or somewhere, and don't put it back on till the next Lord's Day. We wear it constantly. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we wear the name Christian if we're members of the Lord's family. Always wearing that name in our recreation, in our social activities, wherever it is, we are known as Christians. And we wear that name constantly. There's not a time that you don't have that name. You can be one that brings dishonor. You can be one who is not pleasing in the Lord's sight. You can be one who be a disobedient Christian. But you wear that name. We cannot take it off and put it on again. Christianity is a daily, hourly matter that's a part of our life all of the time. In Luke 9 and verse 23, and he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In chapter 24 of Matthew in verse 44, therefore be you also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Thirdly, we need to wear it intelligently. Ever mindful of our influence on others. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, toward the end of that chapter, he pointed out that we were to be the salt of the earth. That we were to be a light unto those round about that would bring glory and honor to God. And so we do have an influence on others. And we can have an influence in such that they honor the name Christian rather than degrade it and say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part about it. Or is that the way a Christian is supposed to talk or act or whatever it may be? Our influence is constant. And we need to understand that we need to wear it intelligently. We need to wear it mindful of the final judgment of God when we stand before Him in that day. Paul pointed out to the Corinthians in his second letter to them in chapter 5 and in verse 10, For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so what we find, when we're wearing the name Christian, we wear it voluntarily, we wear it all the time, and we should wear it intelligently, based upon our knowledge of God's Word and what we should do and should not do, and how we should conduct ourselves. Are you a Christian? Or are you just merely wearing the name? Not all who wear the name will go to heaven. Only those who try to live up to that name in obedience to His Word. We need to ask, wherein may I be a better Christian? Are you a Christian? Have you rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ that we mentioned earlier? The Lord adds you to His church upon that obedience. You become adopted child in the family of God. And you become one who is a laborer in His vineyard. You become one that can bring glory and honor to His name. Or you can bring shame and reproach in the name of the one that did so much, even giving His life for you, and you have no time for it. How can I be a better Christian? I can worship Him every opportunity that I have. I can study His Word. I can talk to Him in prayer often and regularly. I can be an obedient child of God. I can do what He tells me to do to the best of my ability. How are you and the name Christian? Do you consider it an honor? Well, then we need to live in that way. If you are wonderful, you're bringing honor and glory to God. But if you're not, you need to repent of that, confessing your sins, and pray to God for forgiveness. If you need to come, won't you come while together we stand and sing?